to have a game in my hometown. I am so excited to see this fantastic building light up tonight. And last, I want to know if this is a basketball city, damn it. Let's hear it.
I'm V-O-I-C-E, so you know what that means. I'm about to talk about Hoop Fantasy. It's the DHL starting season 16, so you know I'm out here hooping with the homies. Yeah, I mean. My flow worse than Silk the Shock on these tracks, man, but it's all good. I'm excited. Get it. DHL. It is good to be back, man. Sometimes you just gotta embrace the ratchetness. My boy Steve Ballmer out there in the intro fired up.
I am so excited!
I mean, really, fall is in the air. The season's right around the corner. If you're not excited, I don't know what's gonna get you excited about fantasy right now. Before we get started, let's go ahead and take care of some housekeeping business. The draft is scheduled for Sunday, October 16th. At 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you got less than a week to get your draft strategy together. As always, the draft order is determined by last season's final standings. So at pick number 1, we got Rock the Cradle. At 2, Team Proof. 3, Undeniable GOAT. 4, Irrelevant. 5, SD Star Sprinkles. 6, Horseman. 7, No Rocket Just Red. 8, One Piece. 9, Peppinem. 10, Bench Warmers. At 11 was Powerhouse, but again, he will be taking a hiatus from fantasy basketball this season, take care of some family stuff, so he won't be playing fantasy this season. So that moves up Elhan to pick 11. Then we got Too Legit, and of course, returning to the league with all the sexual innuendos in tow, Black Raw. And finally, to be announced who our last player will be, our manager will be this season. So before we really get into the meat of the podcast, as always, there's a disclaimer. This top 16 is not a list that makes presumptions of which certain manager will pick player A, B, or C in the draft. It's just in a vacuum to look at some of these top-ranked players heading into the season. And so let's go ahead and get this started. We've wasted enough time. At number 1, there's a no-brainer selection here. That's Nikola Jokic. He's the hands-down best player in fantasy right now. No concerns that his statistical numbers can't repeat. I don't care that Jamal Murray's coming back. I don't care that Michael Porter is coming back. This guy is a cheat code. He had Denver as the 6th-ranked offense last year with nobody next to him. So we're looking at high percentages on volume across the board for fantasy purposes. The only thing that Jokic can't do is block a shot consistently. At number 2, we have Joel, Mr. Troel Embiid. Last season, he shut down Twitter with his post about that guy showing up to his biggest haters funeral. to make sure that they're dead after the Ben Simmons trade. And then he had the audacity to get the guy in that little meme to show up to the next home game sitting courtside. So that's priceless by Troel Embiid right there. The greatest at it in the game at this point. But as far as fantasy is concerned, we're worried about his stats. And I think he really wants to just step on his haters' graves again, because give it one last shot at winning this MVP award and hopefully closing out the year with a championship. So I'm expecting Joel to be playing at a high level once again. And, you know, fantasy managers, you know, we always feel a little bit cautious about Embiid due to his injury history. But last year, Embiid played a season-high 68 games because he had something to prove. And I fully expect him to meet or surpass that mark again because he still has something to prove. Last nugget I want to say about Embiid. When Harden got to Philly, the game just got easier for the big man. with Harden on the team, Embiid was able to average 32.6 points. At number three, I have Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's actually probably the best player in the NBA at this point, but due to some of his holes in his fantasy game, I can't rank him at number one. But if there was ever an argument for consistency, Giannis is it. He's going to play the mid-60s of games. He's going to average just under 30 points and give you about double-digit rebounds and close to 6 assists. You can bank on that. And what we appreciate about Giannis is that he's not afraid of ridicule. Ben Simmons. Giannis, he's always willing to work on his game. He's always willing to put in that effort so that when big moments come, he doesn't shy away from it. And that's why really for me, at some point, I feel that Giannis is going to have that breakthrough that fantasy managers have been waiting for, which is respectable production from beyond the arc and the charity stripe. So Giannis, he's going to be like 28 in December, and supposedly 27 through about 29, that's the range where most players hit their peak of their prime. This could be that year for Giannis. The other thing about Giannis that may make him a little bit more attractive to fantasy managers is the fact that the take foul has been taken out of the game. And so most basketball fans are very happy about this decision that the NBA has made. And when you think about the take foul and you think about Giannis's game, Giannis is one of those guys that you see four or five times a game running coast to coast, euro stepping a guy for the dunk or just coast to coast and dunking it, you know, with a clear path dunk. And with the take foul being legislated out of the game, it's not hard to conceive that Giannis may get an extra 4 to 5 points a game just off of clear path dunks because people can't foul him anymore and put him on the free throw line. And if that's the case, now you're looking at a guy in the same amount of minutes that's averaging somewhere between, you know, 32, 35 points a game on high field goal percentage. So that's very attractive for fantasy managers. Number four here, this might be a controversial pick, but I got to go with Kevin Durant. I believe he's worth the hassle. People might say voice. Durant only played 32 games during the 2021 season and 55 games during the 21-22 season. How can we trust him? My argument would be don't worry about trusting KD. Trust in Kyrie's own words.
And that accountability that he asked for should be available and accessible at all times. And we should have that type of environment. So the awkwardness, I say, you know, being in the middle of, you know, it's kind of like a clusterfuck. You know what I mean? Just like all of this.
Exactly. I have the confidence that the Nets will find a way to make this season look like another clusterfuck. And because of the clusterfuckness that will occur, I just look back at what happened previously. And I use that to project what may happen in the future. Over the last two seasons, Durant has been available and performed down the stretch of fantasy, playing 11 out of the last 12 games and 19 of the final regular season games, respectively. So, of course, you know, if you're drafting Durant as your first pick, you're going to want to take less risk overall in the draft to boost your team's baseline. But if you're looking for someone to take you over the top and close out your season, Durant has been that guy. At pick number five, Stephen Curry.
Stephen Curry, he's driving me crazy. Stephen Curry, and the Warriors.
Now, we all know lifelong Warriors fan Team Proof is not letting Stephen Curry fall this far. And although there should be some ice around your heart when making fantasy decisions, the point of playing fantasy is to have fun. And when you're talking about the top players in the draft anyways, you're just splitting hairs. So it's not like Team Proof taking Curry at number two is reaching instead of letting him fall to number five where I have him ranked currently for the preseason. You're not losing your season by making this move in the slightest. But anywho, Curry, he does make me a little nervous. We'll probably need to temper some of our expectations for the reigning finals MVP. If you throw out the COVID season where Curry only played five games due to injury, last season was some of the worst shooting we've seen from him in his career. Now, everything is relative, so let's be serious here, because the description of worst when we're talking about Curry, that means he shot 44% from the field and 38% from deep. And for a point guard, those percentages, that's right in that mid-range right there. That's that's quality shooting from a point guard. So we got to take it with a grain of salt when we say he had some of his worst shooting in his career. But there was also reduction in his free throw attempts. He went from 5.7 to 4.3. That hurts a bit. Now, hopefully with everybody starting off the season healthy, you hope that it'd be a little bit easier to get into the flow of things. If you look at last season, Klay Thompson, he didn't start playing 30 plus minutes until March. And it may just be a coincidence, but once Klay was a full go, in that same month, Curry shot 52% from the field. Now, all this cohesiveness and getting into the flow of things, Draymond Green may have threw a wrench in that line of thought here with him punching Jordan Poole and the film leaking and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was going to be tough with him fighting anyways for everybody to get over it. But now that there's actual footage out there making Jordan Poole look even worse, it's a little bit tougher to swallow your pride and say, hey, let's just, you know, push this under the rug and do what we got to do to try to win a championship. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Kobe and Shaq didn't like each other and they won 3 titles. So you don't got to be the best of friends. You just got to make sure that you do what you got to do on the court. As for Curry, though, the Warriors, they're trying to thread the needle here by developing their young guys while still trying to win championships. So I expect the old heads, Curry, Thompson, Green, we're going to see some lower minutes with them having 15 back-to-backs this season. So you're probably going to see a few more scheduled rests than normal for these guys. And if we're getting 60-plus games for Curry, then we're getting value anyways. And I think he'll get over 60 games easily. At number 6, Luka Doncic. Every year, I try to buy into the hype. And every year, Luka just falls a little bit short of expectations. This year is no different because I'm buying into the hype again. Most of us by now have seen the highlights from Luka crushing Eurobasket this summer. And the groupthink that you hear on the radio and everything is that because Luka has been playing competitive ball all summer, he's much more likely that he came into training camp in shape. And so this season he should hit the ground running. What I love about Luka is that you're going to be getting a guy that averages close to a triple-double and that has all the uses that he can handle. Luka is the sun when it comes to Dallas's offense. Everything else, it just orbits around him. But what holds Luka back in fantasy is that he leads the league in turnovers. Last year, he averaged 4.5 turnovers and shot a poor free throw percentage. And I get it. If you're going to base your entire offense around one guy, you got to expect that the high turnovers are going to come with it. So you're not really thinking about that when you're drafting Luka, but it is something that is a negative when you're playing in a fantasy league that counts turnovers. But it's just like James Harden when he was in Houston. For everything else that Luka does, you're going to deal with those turnovers and just keep on pushing. Speaking of James Harden, he slots in at the 8th spot. And I admit, I was part of the chorus singing out, man, Harden, he looks washed during certain points of the season. But for fantasy purposes, this man still produces. In the 21 games where Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and Harden were all on the floor, Harden averaged 21 points, 7.1 rebounds, 10.5 assists, 1 steal, and 2.2 three-pointers made at 33%, while knocking down 7.9 free throws made at 89%. This is all why we were clowning Harden. So imagine what he could do coming into a season healthy, where he's trying to secure that last big payday and says he's been focusing on his health all offseason. At pick 8, going with Karl Anthony Towns. I'm super interested in what Towns is going to look like this season with Rudy Gobert next to him. What I'm sure we'll see is the self-proclaimed best shooting big man in the game launching way more threes. And we've already have a reference point for what this may look like. In the 2019-20 COVID season, Towns averaged 7.9 three-point attempts at 41%. Again, 7.9 three-point attempts at 41%. That man was jacking them up, but he was still able to grab 10.8 rebounds. No, I don't think Towns will be able to grab double-digit rebounds with Rudy Gobert on his team. The last time that two players on the same team were even close to averaging double-digit rebounds was back in the 2019-20 season when Tristan Thompson in 57 games averaged 10.1 rebounds and Kevin Love in 56 games averaged 9.8 rebounds. And this is while they were playing for the Cavaliers. And speaking of the Cavs, just to go off topic for a little bit. Last season, Jared Allen, he averaged 10.8 rebounds. Evan Mobley, he averaged 8.3 rebounds, and Kevin Love averaged 7.2. So all that's to say, even though we can expect a reduction in Cat's rebounding, I don't think the guy's just going to fall off a cliff. We see that if you're a good rebounder, there's plenty of boards to go around. Everybody can kind of eat. Now, I know people are a little worried that Towns may be off to a slow start due to the recent news of him being hospitalized for a throat infection. The rumors are that the infection was so bad that the guy lost 20 pounds, and this was recently cleared to walk. So I assume that he's going to probably miss most or the entire preseason and use the first couple weeks of the season to kind of ramp up his body and get back in shape. At number 9, we have Trae Young. And with DeJounte Murray, the spicy mustard, coming into ATL, ain't no problem, man. Put a little bit of that spicy mustard on my sandwich. Trae Young's still going to cook. Trae Young, he's still going to be that engine that makes the Hawks offensive go. And Murray will need to learn to be more of a complementary part of the offense, similar to his time in San Antonio when he was sharing the floor with DeMar DeRozan. Also, I just believe Murray is there to make sure that Atlanta's offense doesn't fall off a cliff when Trae Young hits the bench. Looking at last season, Young had career highs in percentages, shooting 46% from the field, 38% from deep, and 90% from the line. And you'd hope that this trend for Young continues now that he's playing with higher caliber teammates. As far as fantasy is concerned, the only place we're really looking for improvement is in the steals category. It's not that terrible because he's teetering on a full assist. Last season, he averaged 0.9 steals. But if he can get that to about 1.2, 1.3, with everything else he does, Young could probably start cracking into that top 5 fantasy guy in future seasons. At 10 is Jason Tatum. There's a lot of chaos going on in Boston, that's for sure, with the suspension of Coach Ime Udoka and the news that Robert Williams III is undergoing knee surgery. What I'm hoping with all of this is that Tatum will use this as motivation, and maybe this will almost galvanize the team to have them just kind of hone in on the basketball season and shut out that outside noise. So if Tatum can just put his team on his shoulders the way he did coming out of the All-Star break, where he averaged 30.4 points, 7 rebounds, 5.1 assists, 1 steal, and 3.8 three-pointers made at 42% while shooting 87% on 6.7 free throws attempts. Man, the percentages were off the charts during that period, and I'm not expecting that to hold up for the entire season. But if Tatum can bump up his scores average to about 28, keep those assists above 5, there's a lot of value to be had from him at the small forward position. For pick 11, I have LaMelo Ball. This is my first time putting the youngin in the top 16 for my preseason ranking. Out of everybody we discussed so far, LaMelo Ball is by far the worst pure scorer of the bunch, but he makes up for it with the 6.7 rebounds as a point guard and 7.6 assists and 1.6 steals. And I admit, I was a little worried about the Hornets hiring back Coach Steve Clifford because he notoriously doesn't seem to like young players. But then I thought, there were plenty of games that I've seen on League Pass where Coach James Borrego benched LaMelo at the end of games for long 6 to 8 minute stretches. So it can't possibly get that much worse with Clifford at the reins now, as LaMelo is entering into his third season, right? Like, it can't get that much worse. Like, LaMelo has to be understanding the game at a higher level by now, where Clifford's leash with him would seem to be a little bit longer. Anywho, I'm going to miss the Airbnb nickname for the lobs thrown by Ball to Bridges. But the elephant in the room is that with all these domestic abuse of charges, or well, not all these, but with the domestic abuse of charges that are hanging over Miles Bridges' head, he's unlikely to be playing NBA basketball this season. And so those 15.2 attempts that he averaged last season, they got to be spread among the team somehow. And when you look at LaMelo's progression, he upped his scoring average from 15.7 to 20.1. And I'm thinking he's going to be able to make another jump this season and get close to 24 a night, because somebody's got to help make up for that lack of offense with Bridges, you know, sitting at home trying to figure out his legal issues. So if LaMelo makes another linear progression for fantasy, we definitely got a first rounder on our hands. At number 12, I got LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Now, I'm really nervous with this selection right here, because at some point, At some point, you got to get burned by Mr. Father Time. And yeah, in real life, LeBron James, he's not D'ing up like he used to. He can't play defense all game and carry the offensive load. He's not going to do that. But we're not worried about that in fantasy. Because King James, he was excellent last season for fantasy managers that were able to draft him at a discount. People were getting him in the second round. And this guy averaged 30.3 points as a 37-year-old. 30.3 points as a 37-year-old. I mean, I'm going to put some people's business in the street, but T-Rab just turned 39 and damn near ripped his calf muscle. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, LeBron 2 years younger than us, and he out here playing at the highest level, dropping 30 points a night on people's head. The only time that LeBron has averaged more points was in his third season when he averaged 31.4. Now, last season, a lot of LeBron's extra fantasy value came from him learning two new skills. With Anthony Davis injured most of the season, he was able to play a lot of center on defense and learn how to block a shot. That's something that LeBron has never done really during his career at a high level. And basically, he doubled his average from the prior season. LeBron was also forced to play with a bunch of non-shooters, and he learned how to shoot the ball like he was Klay Thompson from deep or something like that. So, LeBron, heading down the stretch of the fantasy regular season, he was an absolute monster once Davis had injured himself at the end of February. And in 15 games, LeBron averaged 33.5 points, 9 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 1.3 blocks, and 3.1 three-pointers made at 38%. Now, I truly do think Anthony Davis will have a healthier season. Like, he has to. Like, it can't get no worse, right? I would think so. But the way that this team is constructed, it just seems like LeBron is going to have to continue to carry a heavy load. And I think this guy is going to amaze us. You know, I think he got another few good seasons where he's going to be near the top of the list, especially for fantasy purposes, where we're not worried about his defense and if he can carry his team to a championship. We just need these stats. So is this hard for me to bet against LeBron? I'm just going to have to hold on until the wheels fall off with this one. At pick 13, we got Damian Lillard. And I'm loving everything about Lillard's potential this season. The domino injury has been remedied. And if you remember, Dame said that area had been bothering him for years. So the fact that he's fixed it and he's coming off a long break. Remember, he shut it down in January last season. He should be ready to be at his normal high volume, lots of minutes, great for fantasy self. Also, for as good as Anthony Simons was last season, he's not as good as CJ McCollum. And Portland, at best, is maybe the ninth best team in the West. Like, just list them. I would take Phoenix, Memphis, Golden State. I take Dallas, Denver, Minnesota. I take the Clippers. I'll probably take New Orleans, honestly, above Portland this season. And I don't trust the Lakers, but the potential of King James and AD together has a higher ceiling than anything that Portland's roster can offer right now. So all that's to say is Portland is one of those teams that's not looking to waste another year of Lillard's fading prime, and they're going to be willing to fight for wins all year. Worst case scenario, they're trying to be in that play-in bubble, and so I think they're going to be jockeying for position down the stretch. So thank you again, Fantasy Gods, for the play-in tournament, because it's forcing more teams to stay competitive to the very end of the fantasy season, and Portland is probably going to be one of them. At 14, we got Devin Booker. We saw in the playoffs once Chris Paul turned 37, dude just fell straight off a cliff. CP3, he has to be able to trust Booker that he can carry the team during the regular season so that he can see if his old ass can shift into the next gear come playoffs. CP3 got to be able to get back into that fifth gear. He can't just be cruising in fourth gear all the way through the regular season and straight into the playoffs. He got to be able to take it up a notch. And to do that, I think we're really talking about for Booker that he has to take over the reins and up his playmaking ability, you know, maybe get those assists up a bit. Because we've seen it before. I mean, before CP3 signed with the Suns, Booker had seasons where he was averaging 6.8 assists. And then the following season, he averaged 6.5. So those two seasons playing along with Chris Paul, he's averaged 4.3 and 4.8 assists respectively. So
it's understandable. It makes sense that with CP3 in the building that Booker's assist would drop. But again, I think that Booker's going to need to take over more of the offensive load this season. And if he can get those back up past 5.5 assists, somewhere around there, it's easy to see how Booker can be one of the only, well, really the only true shooting guard with first round potential. We're talking about a guy that could possibly average 26 points, 5 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 1 steal, and 2.5 three-pointers made. At pick 15, gets a little dicey here because I'm going with Paul George. And I know Kawhi Leonard is technically the best player on the Clippers, but I just trust Paul George more for fantasy purposes. And I get it. Both of those guys, PG-13 and Kawhi, they have a very colorful injured history. But again, I just think George has a better chance of getting to 60-plus games. This is what we can assume. The Clippers, they have 15 back-to-backs this season. And maybe what the Clippers will decide to do is rotate the rest of Kawhi and Paul George on those nights, you know, depending on the opponents of the back-to-back. If it involves a team like the Spurs, the Rockets, the Thunder, etc., you know, those type of teams at the bottom that aren't really going to be playing for anything this season. Maybe both Kawhi and Paul George rest on the same night. Maybe they alternate nights on back-to-backs where one guy plays one night and the other guy plays another night, just to make sure that they have offense on the floor at a high caliber. Either way, it's a good assumption to assume that both players will miss about 15 games out the gate. So already down from the 82-game schedule to 67-game schedule for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I think where the difference is that Paul, he may get another 3 to 5 rest days, but I feel like Kawhi's number will probably be somewhere closer to 8 to 10 games. If you're keeping up with the math, and again, this is a big if, but if Paul George can stay healthy, that's probably about 62 games that he'll play this season. And in today's NBA, the magic range seems to be around 66 to 68 games for star players, because everybody's resting, everybody's taking days off, because at the end of the day, what matters is the playoffs and trying to win championships. So if I'm getting more than 62 games from Paul George, you know, that's great, but realistically, all that I'm hoping for out of my studs is 66, 68 games. Because now, really, if you even look at some of the trash teams that will have all summer to rest, their star players are getting rest days. So it's like, come on now. It's not even like guys on tanking teams. Sometimes it'll be teams that are fighting for the play-in. And, you know, like a Julius Randle or somebody taking a day off. Like, dude, you're not going to be making the playoffs. Y'all going to lose in the play-in and you're going to have all summer off. Why are you taking days off? But it's just today's culture in the NBA. So really, when you're looking at the top guys, again, 70 games is a rarity at this point. But I think Paul George, again, I think he has the best chance of getting the 60-plus games. And we know when he plays that he has first-round potential. Finally, at 16, we got DeJounte, the spicy mustard, Murray. And if he wasn't traded to Atlanta, he'd have been a no-brainer first-round pick. In a perfect world, you would hope that Murray and Young can make it work like Curry and KD did when they teamed up, and both guys maintained their first-round value while still playing with fantasy-relevant players like Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, who had enormous value at the time. Murray, he had a breakout season last year, averaging 21.1 points, 8.3 rebounds, 9.2 assists, 2 steals, and 1.4 three-pointers made at 33%. The issue is what pushed his value up so high were the rebounds from the point guard position, the assists, and the steals. Those were both elite. All that's going to be a little bit hard to replicate this season while playing for the Hawks. Steals in general, that's a category that's hard to replicate, especially when you're elite steal guys. And remember, anything over 2, really anything over like 1.8 is elite for somebody that's grabbing you steals in fantasy. Then you got the rebounds, where last season his only real competition for boards was Jakob Poeltl, who had 9.3 rebounds average. But this year he's going to have to work around Clint Capella, who averaged 11.9 rebounds, John Collins, who averaged 7.8 rebounds, and Onyeka Okongwu, who averaged 5.9 rebounds. Lastly, you look at the assist category, And that's just going to be tough to replicate because you're playing with Ice Trey now, who averaged 9.7 assists last season. The easiest comp I have for this situation is when Russell Westbrook went to play with James Harden in Houston. Westbrook went from averaging 11.1 rebounds to 7.9, and he went from averaging 10.7 assists to 7. As we discussed earlier when talking about Trey Young, I believe Murray was brought to Atlanta to make sure that the offense doesn't fall off a cliff. So if you take that into account, that's 14 to 16 minutes a night where he's going to be running the show. And I think Murray can easily maintain his points average in that 20 to 22 range. And for the sake of argument, if you're looking at a guy that's averaging 20 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 1.5 steals, 1.5 three-pointers made, and that's their floor, I think you're satisfied with that if you're taking him at the end of a first round. So just to go over the list again, we got Nikola Jokic at 1, Joel Embiid at 2, Giannis Antetokounmpo at 3, Kevin Durant at 4, Stephen Curry at 5, Luka Doncic at 6, James Harden at 7, Karl-Anthony Towns at 8, Trae Young at 9, Jason Tatum at 10, LaMelo Ball at 11, LeBron James at 12, Damian Lillard at 13, Devin Booker at 14, Paul George 15, and DeJounte Murray at 16. So we'll wrap it up here. And if y'all got any addendums to add to the list, let me know. Put it in the comments. Love to hear your feedback. And we'll see what time allows, but I hope to knock out a few more preseason podcasts before the season starts, just to help knock out the rust a little bit. And as always, I appreciate y'all making me a part of your day. And with the fantasy season about to start, remember the words of the immortal Kevin Garnett.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible!